and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
All right, and we have appropriate professionals in the studio live today on this Thursday, the 15th of October. Mr. Dennis Prout of Prout Financial, Heidi Thompson of Prout Financial Design, and Shay Pataja. Welcome all.
It is great to be here indeed. Thank you, Ron. And then as we were listening to this, I was thinking, you know, maybe we should speed that up, you know, like they do on the car shows, the car advertisements, rather, or that sort of thing.
Or the medical commercials where they talk so fast. You're like, what?
Yeah. Let's hurry this up, shall we? Indeed.
May cause
hangnails.
It was
great to be here. Thank you so much on October 15th. Say again.
May cause hangnails.
Yeah.
You know, those little medical.
Yeah,
but we digest.
Right. Indeed. So I'm just back from Milwaukee yesterday. I have no idea what's going on here in Traverse City. Welcome to me. I get to show all these pictures of the grandkids.
And Dennis's show. Oh, I saw that online. Beautiful.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Is that Jill there?
That is the wife, Jill.
Wow, grandma.
And Cece, as we call her, Maeve, and now Ike, her Irv. Little Irv, he's about
a great name.
A week old, named after his great-grandfather.
Irv. You don't hear that very often.
No, you don't. It's not a common name at all, but Lindsay had a special relationship with him, Irvin Sutherland, and oh my gosh, it's just really fun that they thought of that and wanted to make that legacy a part of things. Oh, my gosh, I said the word legacy.
Uh-oh.
We should talk about that today, eh? Should we?
Sounds like a good idea.
And joining us here, of course, as she was just talking, Shay Pataja.
Hello.
Welcome, Shay, our CXO, director of everything.
Fun.
Direction. Director of everything fun, including the class that we're finishing up even tonight, retirement planning today, and we're talking about some of these things, estate planning, risk management, and Heidi's covering investments.
Yep, a lot of information, so much information.
A ton, but we've learned a lot and thankful for it, for those participating. We continue to learn as we teach from the questions that people are asking as a part of the class. Well, Dennis, is it rocket science? No, not necessarily, but it helps us to stay grounded in terms of where people are at and what they're concerned about. And frankly, I love it. We taught that for about 10 years, retirement planning today, and stopped in 16 and have continued now in 20. They're set for the Zoom stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy about that. And we're probably going to be teaching that here in the winter sector as well.
It's a different game getting used to teaching online versus seeing people in person. I mean, you guys cram 6 hours into four.
Yeah.
And so you're doing your best. It's tough, and I give people who sign up credit for being able to commit to that and commit their evening to it and stick with it, because it is different.
It is.
It's a lot of work figuring out this whole retirement gig, and that's why we appreciate you. Yes, and I do mean you joining us. I'm not sure where that's from. But anyway. So there's much more to legacy than money, much more to legacy than money. However, to start, we're going to start with the financial portion first. And that is from Ed Slott and Company, where they're specifically talking. And frankly, this is the stuff that most people like to talk about because it tends to be easier for us to get through and talk about. It's called life insurance versus Roth IRAs, leaving a legacy. Three differences between life insurance and Roth IRAs and why that could be important. Number one, Roth IRAs are always included in your estate thanks to the current $11.6 million federal exemption amount, and that's doubled if you're married. there's one good reason. Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't joke. It's a good reason to stay married. We'll just put it that way. The amount that can pass estate tax-free to beneficiaries, estate tax concerns are nowhere near what they used to be. So in essence, you can basically pass as a couple $23 million without having to pay any estate tax. Hmm. The estate tax is indeed a very high tax. Starts at 40% and goes higher. And most likely, that estate tax equivalent will be coming down here in the future. Their guess, from what I've seen, you know, the futurists, if you will, are saying probably $6 million. But we'll just have to see.
We have a stat about people predicting things today.
Yes, so. And I was thinking of that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's very interesting. Indeed, it was the Fed. It wasn't just, you know, some
anyone.
Joe Dokes out there, if you will. Here's the deal in a nutshell. The I in IRA stands for individual. That means it's always yours. And the value of your Roth IRA is always included in your estate. And it goes on to talk about if indeed you were subject to estate tax, the Roth IRA would be included in the estate tax, not the income tax. All right. Mm. In contrast, life insurance can be structured so that it's outside of your estate. That's what's called an ILIT, I-L-I-T, or an irrevocable life insurance trust. Now, that's going to be on our midnight show. For those who are having trouble falling asleep, we're going to have that information in the midnight show, okay?
I wonder if any accountants have named their kids Islet.
Islet.
Islet. I love him so much. Well, he's such a nice boy.
Islet.
There you go.
So, Dennis, I just wanted to interject real quick. One reason we're comparing Roths and life insurance is because they all transfer tax-free, and that's why these two are being compared, and I just thought that might be an interesting
an important
tidbit.
Detail. Thanks, Heidi. You know, she always keeps me grounded,
yeah, she
Ron.
Does.
Yes, it's important. Dennis, you forgot this minor detail. Thank you, Heidi.
Sorry.
That's why I'm laughing. There's a limit to the amount you can contribute to a Roth IRA. When it comes to the tax code, there's a giant hole for life insurance. Insurance carriers may limit the amount of insurance they'll offer you based on a variety of factors, including your health, annual income, and net worth. That has absolutely nothing to do with the tax code. So you're free and clear when it comes to the tax code as to how much insurance you want to buy. In essence, you're paying for it. We get that. And life insurance has very specific uses, but keep in mind, it passes tax-free to your spouse and to your heirs, and under today's code has significant advantages. Now, are we on here trying to sell life insurance? No, we're just talking the facts, ma'am. Okay.
Well, and considering this year, a lot of people have had to and want to look at their estate plan, their wills. Something about a pandemic makes people reevaluate where they're at with things. So
this pandemic has leveled the playing field like nothing else I've ever seen in my life. All of a sudden, I think people's views, values, hopes, all of it has changed, and I would say rather dramatically for many. It's put a damper on some of the excitement. But I think it's also spread out our thinking to think more perhaps of those around us and those with whom we have special relationships like family. Number two, there's a limit to the amount you can contribute to a Roth. If you're over 50, which no one in this room is, but if you do happen to be over 50, you can contribute more than someone who is not. It's $6,000 if you're under 50, 50 or older, $7,000. But there is no limit to the amount that you can convert, and no age limit either to the when you can convert or how much. So it's dependent on your tax bracket. Now, we're going to be talking about tax brackets and that sort of thing. Have we scheduled John Sluice yet on?
Yes.
To come on?
Yep,
we have. Indeed.
John Sluice, Ed Slott, Laverna Woodcup, and two more Real Retirement Story separate interviews that I've done coming up.
And Adele. Don't forget the Adele's show coming up.
Oh, yes. We're going to have Adele.
She's coming on,
okay,
as well. We're going to sing songs with her, and you know, like they do when that gentleman's
in the
car.
We're going to set fire to the rain. And then she's going to say, hello. Hello?
Is she going to say it again? Okay, I just wondered. Okay. Additionally, there's no rule on what type of income you need to purchase life insurance or how much or how little you need to have. Roth IRA contributions, on the other hand, do have such restrictions, as we've discussed earlier. There are issues on the other side of the spectrum, too, and I hadn't thought about this. I thought this was a great point. If you have too much income from whatever sources, you are prohibited from making any Roth contributions. That's about $200,000 as a couple. This was, you know, a review, and I'm sure it is for you. With life insurance, there's no limit to the amount of income you can have. In fact, all things being equally, you can generally qualify for much more life insurance with a higher income. And because there are no limits as such, it is much easier to leverage the present for the future. Now, that's what a lot of this is about. How do we leverage what's going on in the present to enhance the future? And isn't that what we're all interested in? How do we pass on more? How do we enhance what they're getting? How do we think perhaps even bigger than what we're thinking now in terms of charitable giving, in terms of entities or groups that we'd like to help benefit as a result of the fact that we've saved this much? That can be incredible. Allowing yourself to think about that and beginning to think about this either with attorney or financial advisor, if you're able to begin to think about legacy and how could I do that differently, and or what can I do? Those may be some of the better conversations and life-giving and energy-giving than any you can have in terms of, am I going to have enough? Obviously, that is a concern. Are we going to have enough retirement income? But what if we wind up having enough and it's really not the issue? Who do we want it to go to? In what form? And what are the tax consequences of how they'll take it? Because all of these IRAs now have 10-year requirements in terms of passing them on to non-spouse beneficiaries. For those who are over age 18, children and grandchildren, these IRA accounts, regular IRA accounts and or Roth IRA accounts, have to be emptied over a 10-year period. 10 years and out from these accounts for non-spouse beneficiaries. So that really adds a different light. And Heidi, you had something you wanted to add.
No, I just thought it was important what you mentioned, and I just wanted to highlight that is if you need the Roth money or to meet your daily expenses and stuff like that, that's different criteria to make decisions about. This is money, you're talking about money that you want to pass on to the next generation or to your beneficiaries. So when you have different scenarios, you want to make sure you're keeping track so that the different criteria for decision making.
And when there's a piece of the pie, now all of us, time can change things and dramatically, whether it's our health. We were talking about that in fact in the class. Those who viewed retirement and where they would be versus where they actually were, it was amazingly different. 35, I think, to 37% of those polled who were not yet retired thought they would retire at age 70. And that actual number, when it actually came to those retirement numbers, it wasn't 35 to 37%. I believe it was 11% that actually made it to age 70 before they retired. So those numbers are dramatically different in reality. And sometimes our numbers are different as well. So we're going to talk about, we're going to come back with some Shea stats, but we're also going to talk about the Allianz Legacies Report, which I really thought about a lot. This was done back in 2005. It talked not only about the financial issues, but some of the value issues you will want to be thinking about, not only yourself, but also hopefully able to discuss with your children. So the methodology behind this report from Allianz, and then we'll get into Heidi's info on the five best tax breaks to take this year from Mr. Ed Slott.
That's right.
As published in what mag was that?
Financial Advisor magazine.
Financial Advisor. So I'm just going to suffice it to say, without all the methodology details, about 3,000 people or so were queried back in 2005, a mix of about two-thirds baby boomers and a third, 65 and older. So obviously, this was 15 years ago. Some of it is, of course, out of date. But their findings from these particular people, first of all, were found by Harris Associates to be plus or minus 3% in terms of their accuracy. So quite accurate. But these misunderstandings in our study's findings reveal 7 key discoveries related to legacy, and I thought was important to share. Number one, today's legacy is unlike any other generation's in size, scope, complexity, because we've all been saving, because we were trying to figure out how to retire, right? And we recognize the value of that, plus an ever-increasing stock market. Values, they said the average value of the portfolio in those days was about $250,000, and I said out loud, well, today, about $500,000. So discovery number two, inheritance is not the name of the game. Number three, money is not the most important legacy. Obviously, it's important, but it's not the most important. Finances are not the biggest source of conflict. Number four, it's about the stuff in the kitchen. The things that are hanging on the walls. Have you labeled them? Mm. Our parents did. Have we done that to ours? No, we haven't done that.
It's a little different with the younger generation. They don't want the stuff
as badly. It's interesting. They don't want the antiques.
They want pictures of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and or they may want some things that surprise you. Because you may say, well, they don't want our stuff. You might be surprised. They're simply looking at the memories. And I've said this before, but, you know, the only thing I wanted out of the kitchen was the dipper, the ice cream dipper, because of all our experience, memories of that in the summertime. But everyone is obviously different. Families don't talk about their legacy plans, number five, discovery number five. Some do, to their credit, but many don't. You know, what do they really want? You might be surprised. Our own children said, we want to be in the room only together, not our spouses, when we're talking about the details of the estate. Obviously, they're going to be influenced by their spouses. At the same time, they didn't want the complexity of having to deal with their spouses and all the in-law variables going on there. So we specifically put that in the trust. Number six, discovery number six, all children are not equal, either to the positive or the negative. Generally, they say it's a very good idea to treat them all equally on the money side unless you speak to them. Now, generally, obviously, some won't be spoken to. We've seen that situation. You know, well, they won't speak to us anymore, so they're out. It's tough sometimes. Hmm. Number seven, families want more than financial advice when planning their legacies. Now, that's kind of pointed to us in terms of discussing or having these discussions with clients, but they want to talk about what are some of the ideas that we might have to pass this? How could this look? How could we spend some more energy and time that would be useful to not only ourselves, but to them as well? What about having a beneficiary meeting as a beginning? How do we begin to have these conversations about what they would really hope for? Would they be willing to serve in terms of helping gift assets if there was charity involved in the future? You might be surprised at their answers. Ara said, oh, yes. Obviously, they have their lives to continue to lead. And then how and what types of assets would be most beneficial to them and perhaps to yourself as well? Specifically, as Heidi mentioned, when you're thinking about those assets whether or not you even need it for your own income, that can be another really helpful thing in terms of, well, you know, I've heard so many couples say this, we've kept our expenses relatively conservative. We really are not going to need these assets. So then you can make the decision in some cases of perhaps better ways to pass this and maybe even pay today's tax rate on this money to advance into the future what they're going to receive, even though you're still welcome to use it for yourself. That can be the fun stuff. So it is about money in some respects, but it may be about the picture on the wall. For me, that's the most memorable thing I got from the estate, period, was a old painting that I bought at a sale, and I think I spent all of $20 on it. And Mom asked me, she said, do you have an interest in any of the things around here? And I said, that's the only thing I really want. So she put my name on the back, and it came to me. So that meant as much as anything other than, of course, the ice cream dipper. But it's amazing how those little things come to me. And I wish that we still had recordings of them and conversation around the family. If I could wish for anything now that Mom and Dad are both gone, that would be one thing. Oh, my gosh, that would be invaluable just to be able to hear them in conversation and talking.
Mm-hmm.
So think about those things, right? They want to hear from you. They really do, mostly.
Well, I was just thinking about my own family, and sometimes that legacy can be a means to an end, because we have we live out at Long Lake, and it's property that was in the family from my great-grandfather, and it holds a special place in the hearts of all of our family. And the ability to hold on to that property and pass on the love of Northern Michigan and what it's like to be up here is something that's become very important to all of us in our family. So having a legacy to help us be able to keep hold of that, and that's important as well. So you can think of it that way.
How many kids do you have, if I may inquire?
Well, there's four in my generation.
I mean, how will you pass the cottage on, then, the four of you, to the next generation?
Well, we haven't gotten to that point, but my dad, before he passed away, put it in a trust, the lake home and all that. And I, you know, my grandmother had to split up her property three ways for all her kids. So it's, you know, with the planning, though, you can use funds that you want to pass on experience, like Dennis was saying. I said, it's sort of like the two worlds colliding, the finance side providing the ability to hold on to those memories. Mm-hmm. So,
you bet, especially, excuse me, if there are fixed assets or real estate assets that need maintenance. You know, is there a fund that we can set aside to help pay for those costs? Because two of the children in this case may be completely able to, and the other one can't in terms of funding or having more expenses in their life. Well, if you've got a separate trust account set up for that exact purpose related to the cottage, that can be incredible, not only for your generation, but for the one that follows, possibly. Mm-hmm. All right. Heidi is going to be talking about the five big tax breaks to take this year. I'll follow up with the pillars of legacy, the four pillars. And then we'll be done. So go, Heidi.
All right. So this is an article written by Ed Slott. It appeared in the Financial Advisors magazine. And it's the five best 2020 tax planning ideas. And the number one is 2020 Roth conversions. And we come back to the Roth so often on this show. But it's always on the year-end to-do list. But this year, you know, low tax rates and possible lower income for many people due to the COVID pandemic might make this an option that if you haven't taken advantage of it before. The rates, the income rates out there are already predetermined to snap back in 2025, but they could go even higher next year, depending on legislation. So we know we have the lower tax rates this year. And Ed mentions a Wall Street Journal article that says one way or another, we'll be paying this off for the rest of our lives. And the paper added, there's no such thing as free borrowing. And there they're referring to that CARES Act and some of the help that the government has given businesses and all those checks they've been writing. Mm-hmm. So taking advantage of the low tax rate, why it's around. And he also points out an interesting item that a lot of people, you know, think, well, you know, when I'm in retirement, I'm going to not have as high income, so I'll probably be in a lower tax bracket. But he likes to point out that that is not always true. And especially after a spouse dies, the surviving spouse may see their tax bills rise because then they will be filing under single status. Yeah. So that might be something else to think of with those Roth conversions out there.
Yeah, that's a great point. And how many think of that? Take a look at where your tax brackets might be if you're alone and how you could possibly change that in today's very low tax rate environment. Yes.
So the second idea is IRA distributions. So taking money out of those traditional IRAs this year because of the lower tax rates again. Get the money out because you're going to owe that tax bill on the money in the IRA. Maybe get it out of the IRA this year. And you can do a lot of things with that. You can invest in other accounts. But that is a strategy. Because
buy a couple of houses, maybe?
There's one.
Great idea, Ron. Mm. Who thought of that? I mean, you know, geez.
All righty. So moving right along to number three are those qualified charitable distributions for 2020. And qualified charitable distributions is when you take money from an IRA and you send it directly to the charity, and you do not have to claim that as income for that year.
You don't have to pass go. It just goes right to them.
And Ed just points out, even if there aren't any RMDs or required minimum distributions this year, it doesn't mean that you can't do those QCDs. Those are still available to anyone over 70 and a half, and that's for anybody that has IRAs or a beneficiary IRA, and that the person is over 70 and a half. They can still take advantage of that.
Now, I was just thinking, as you're bringing this up, Heidi, there are some who are waiting for a negative market correction to do these transitions or do these conversions. One thing to think about is you may want to do the conversion now where the market is higher if you think it's going to go down, and then simply invest the Roth IRA proceeds over some time if you still think that correction is going to happen. So obviously then you certainly can leverage what's already been in the Roth by having converted the higher dollar amount value, if you will, of the assets that were in the regular IRA. Now you can convert assets directly if you want. You've got a great mutual fund in your IRA, the XYZ Purple Fund. I mean, it's the best thing since sliced bread. You could actually take that, Ron, in an IRA and convert it direct to the Roth. Did we know that?
No, I didn't know.
Hey,
that.
It's kind of fun. So
I might have known
you could
that.
Actually take that. You know, of course you did. You're a master elite advisor with that slide. You know, I'm such a braggadocio.
I did not know that. We can.
It's kind of
Shay
radical.
For sure, was
so
not in
it's
the loop
just,
on that one.
So you can convert it directly, or if you want to convert the cash instead, liquidate the asset within the IRA, non-taxable, make that conversion of the dollar amount then to the Roth, and then wait until this ominous correction. You know, I'm making somewhat fun of it. But if you think there is going to be a correction, then buy within the Roth IRA when the correction happens.
Hmm. That's an idea.
It is. All right. Go, Heidi.
Think it over.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. So now we're on number four, and number four is gifting. So Dennis alluded to this, that the 2020 estate and gift tax exemption is $11.5 million per person, so over $23 million for a couple. And these amounts are scheduled to go back to $5 million and $10 million, respectively, after 2025. So we have that coming up in the future.
Oh, I didn't realize it. That was so it's actually 5 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. In 2025.
Okay. 2025. If they don't change the rules on
right.
us.
Right. Oh, that's not going to happen. They're never going to change the rules.
Right. So there's three tiers of tax-exempt gifting. The first one is a $15,000 annual exclusion gift. This can be made to anyone each year, and they do not reduce the gift estate exemption. So these are always tax-free, even if the exemption is used up. So that just means you can gift up to $15,000 to anyone that you want to.
Can be a great way to control the estate and also see how they're going to use the funds once received.
And then the second type of gifting is unlimited gifts for direct payments for tuition and medical expenses. And these gifts can be made to anyone. So if you wanted to pay for a grandchild's schooling or medical bills for their health care, something like that.
And that's out of what? That's from?
It's a gifting.
Just out of your income or out of one of these, like an IRA, are you saying?
Out of any of your assets that you have. So you
whether
could
or not
sell
you
that
pay the
second
tax
home.
First, yeah.
Yeah, you could sell the second home.
Oh, there you go, Heidi. See, yeah. She's already got that money parlayed. All right.
And his last point for the gifting is 11.5 million lifetime gift state exemption in 2020. So there is that as well out there.
And so significant numbers you can pass on.
Yep.
Even these days.
So the last point, number five, is updating the estate plan after the SECURE Act. And Dennis and I have mentioned this several times over this year, but it is really important because the big change that happened with the SECURE Act in December of 2019, where anyone that or any entity inheriting these IRAs are going to have to drain those IRAs within 10 years. So many conduit trusts need to be updated, and they need to take into consideration the tax hit that a trust would take because they have much lower brackets for those top tax rates. And a couple of solutions that Ed wanted to point out is one solution is you can convert the IRAs to Roths to eliminate that tax trap there. Or second, maybe withdraw IRA funds now and purchase life insurance. He comes back again to life insurance.
Obviously, you have to be insurable to do that, and there are other factors as well. But those are general recommendations that could make sense for you. I love it. Thank you, Heidi.
Sure.
A great information for Mr. Ed Slott. He's going to be on in the coming weeks. Laverne is going to be on. We're going to be talking about Medicare planning, and I heard you mentioning them early this morning, Ron, the complexity of the changing health options for retirees increased again this year. There are more options. This is one of the best years, I think, to take a look at what are my plans do? What do they offer? What are the costs? What are the benefits? And weigh all those things. And Laverne is going to help us do that here in the coming weeks. So we're going to have Ed, Laverna, John Sluson, lots of people
Adele.
Locally. Adele's going to be with us, too.
We've got, haven't nailed
vicariously.
That one down yet.
Yes.
Yeah. She's quite so, busy.
I know. She knows some of these people. All right. So the pillars of legacy. I wanted to hit this before we end. By conducting thousands of interviews nationwide, we discovered Allianz Life. We uncovered, rather, four distinct and important pillars of legacy. These four pillars are, number one, values and life lessons. They want to hear from you on this. Two, instructions and wishes to be fulfilled. Be as specific and succinct as you can be there. Number three, personal possessions of emotional value. We've already talked about that somewhat. Those may cause some of the most angst between the children of any other asset. Number four, financial assets or real estate, as Heidi alluded to with the real estate there. If you want them to continue, You may want them to, and they may not have any interest. They can't. They don't have the capacity emotionally and or time-wise. They're not even local, perhaps. You see where I'm going with that. So some great things to think about. It's not just about the finances. It's about a lot of other things.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.